أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين أجرموا كانوا من الذين آمنوا يضحكون وإذا مروا بهم يتغامزون وإذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم انقلبوا فكهين وإذا رأوهم قالوا إن هؤلاء لضالون وما أرسلوا عليهم حافظين فاليوم الذين آمنوا من الكفار يضحكون على الأرائك ينظرون هل ثوب الكفار ما كانوا يفعلون صدق الله العظيم. These are the last ayahs of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. As we all heard in the beginning, that the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us of some of the evil deeds human beings are used to perform in this life. From there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us of Akhirah and how all of us one day will have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He also reminded us that in this life, although people go in different directions, in the Akhirah will be two directions. The result of every work of this dunya will be one of the two destinations in the Akhirah, either towards Jannah or, wal-ayazu billah, towards Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about Aliyin, and also He told us about Sijjin. And we talked in detail about that in our previous sessions. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us of a situation that normally believers go through in this life. And this is also something that we all have to take it. Whether we like it or we don't, we will have to go through some of these situations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. The wrongdoers were always laughing at the believers. They used to make fun of the believers. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. And whenever they would pass by them, they will wink to each other. Look at him. With their eyes, they will point to each other. Look at him. This is a mu'min. This is a believer that's going. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. If we look at these two ayahs, and of course the subject still continues, and we'll go to the next ayahs after, inshallah. Looking at these two ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that holding to our deen and to our iman, it won't be that we just practice it and no one will laugh at us, no one will try to stop us, and we won't be facing any hardships in this life for practicing our deen. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the beginning of Surah Ankabut, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they will say, we are believers, آمَنَّا, and they will never be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. At all the time, previous ummahs were also tested and they went through the same difficulties. And the test comes in different ways. This is one of these ways that our iman is tested. And we are put to this test to see whether we are practicing this deen for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we are doing it just to see if it is easy enough to do it and to practice it, let's do it. And if there is any difficulty, then we will just leave it for someone else. Look at another ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pictures a beautiful scene to us in Quran. He tells us, a person is standing at a bridge, and the bridge is very thin. The person has to go on one of the two directions. On one direction, if he jumps on the right direction, he will be on the land. If he jumps on the other direction, on the left direction, on the left hand side, that person will be drawn in the ocean. There is an ocean underneath the person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look how beautifully He puts this in Quran al-Kareem, and He tells us, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. There are people who worship Allah while being at the edge of their iman. They don't get into it. They don't want to get into it. They have not decided yet to be part of it. يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. He always remains on that edge of iman. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. He gets anything good in return for doing any of his worships, he will be pleased with it and will remain into the iman. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ. As soon as he will have any hardship, will turn away to the other side. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Lost the dunya and he lost the akhirah. So there are many people who have not yet decided that they would like to be part of this deen totally. They are still in the process of thinking in the remains at that edge of iman throughout their lives. And once the person remains at that position, there is no guarantee whatsoever that he would die with that faith and with that iman, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, at the time of death, shaitan uses his utmost power to turn the person away from iman. And a person who was looking at others to see how others are doing, and then he would go and practice iman, thinking, if these people will do it good, then I would do it. If these people have any difficulties, I'll remain back. He's looking at his parents, he's looking at his children, he's looking at his brothers, sisters, friends, wife, husband. His iman basically practiced only by watching others, by looking at others, and not by his own willingness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, at the time of death, shaitan comes to the person. And he comes to the person in the form of his father or some of the elders that have passed away from his family or his relatives or teachers. And he says to that person, look, I'm your father. And today I'm here to tell you a secret. What's that? He says, throughout my life you thought that I was a mu'min? That's not right. I wasn't a mu'min. I was a Jew. Or I was a Christian. He uses one of these. And I'm advising you that at this time, this is the opportunity. You still have an opportunity. You're still alive. Change your faith. Because since I died as a Jew, I'm having all the pleasure over there. And I have seen all the Muslims who die as Muslims, as believers. They thought they are believers, but they are all in the hell. You better turn away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on and on, different ways to shaitan tries at the time of person's death. Imagine, if a person was copying and looking just for his benefits in this life, how easy it will be for shaitan to drive the person away from his faith at that time, because that person is standing at the edge of his faith anyway. He's only a step away from kufr, wal'iyazu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. There are people, if they always look for some pleasure of this worldly life by their iman and by their salah also. Many times, some of us, we do the salah. God forbid we go through some hardships after leaving the masjid. We went back to home, we went back to workplace, we found out that during this period that we were missing from home or workplace, something happened that's not in our favor. And now we start thinking, you know, I just went for salah. I don't know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa ayyazubillah made this happen to me. Although all the other people they go, they never face anything like this, and it's only me. Every time I leave for salah, this happens to me. And when ayyazubillah, the person starts connecting everything with this ibadah as if he was doing favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, ya Allah, since I'm praying for you, you are not supposed to do this for me. You are not supposed to do this to me because I was favoring you, al-ayyazubillah, by doing this ibadah to you. This is exactly what it means, although we don't say. We got to realize any of our ibadahs, our faith to begin with, our iman, our aqidah, and then we go to any of our ibadah and service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's really just thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He has favored us with. We can never pay to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever He has done for us. And at the same time, we can never look for anything to get anything back from these ibadahs, because what type of ibadahs are they? And have we thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we have received? In fact, we should really think, I don't know what good I have done for which I'm receiving all of these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I haven't done any good. I don't know for what good I'm receiving all of these blessings of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, these hardships will always be there in the world for the believers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الْقَابِضُ فِيهِمْ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِضِ عَلَى الْجَمْرَةِ. A time will come when a person holding to his iman, his faith, will be just like a person who's holding to a flame of a fire in his hand. It will be as difficult to hold to our deen as holding to a flame of a fire in our hands. Today, it's not exactly the same, but sometime in the beginning steps, when we start practicing deen, we feel that this is some of the difficulties that we have in our lives. It's almost similar type of difficulty we face. In fact, we feel that it's almost the similar situation as if I'm holding to a flame of fire. A person, and especially with sisters, might be more than men, a woman who's wearing full hijab, covering herself properly, and she has to go out in the marketplace, she has to go to the shopping centers, she's out at the airports, she's traveling the airplanes, and everyone is staring at her. People might laugh at her too. And it happens to us when we also go out with our proper dress, beard, might be imam on our head. And if none of these, at least when we go out and we are doing salah out on the street, gas stations, train station, or airports, we find people staring at us. Many times, some of our people will not perform the salah just with the fear that someone will laugh at me. People are watching. How can I do it? I'm ashamed to do the salah. I'll do it once I get home. And then we start finding excuses for ourselves. I don't have the proper tahara. It's not a good place to make the wudu. Or whatever other excuse we find for ourselves. The main reason we are ashamed to practice our deen, because these people are laughing at us. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. The wrongdoers were always making fun of believers. This is not something new. This is not something that is started today. It was all the time for all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And we can see the Rasirah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the life of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. They always went through these things, these situations that always kuffar are making fun of them. In fact, one of the very amazing situations, or we might call it a blame from the kuffar, to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in was غَرَّ هَؤُلَاءِ دِينُهُمْ إِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ غَرَّ هَؤُلَاءِ دِينُهُمْ. Pair of making fun of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, they used to say that these people, because of getting into their deen and following their deen so much, they have been misled. And these people feel that their deen will do everything for them. And because of their deen, they are superior than others. Look at another ayah of Quran al-Kareem, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذَا نَادَيْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ اتَّخَذُوهَا هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. When you call for prayer, adhan, when you call the adhan, they always make fun of the adhan. هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. And they make joke of it. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. These people have no understanding. But most of us will leave our ways of life that we know is the right way of life from Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we don't want others to laugh at us. We're trying to avoid that situation. And to avoid that situation, we will even change our lifestyles and neglect the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adopt their ways of life, so that these people won't make fun of us and they won't make jokes of us and they won't look down at us. Some of us will change our dress for that reason. Some of us will change our looking for that reason. Some of us will change our home, the lifestyle inside the home for those people. These are the reasons, main reasons that we are changing different things in our life in spite of knowing what's right. We are changing the lifestyles, adopting their lifestyle, so at least we can somewhere compromise with these people and please them also. We like to compromise. We don't want our neighbors to laugh at us. We don't want children at school to make fun of our children there. I have seen situations when mothers are forcing their children to change their dress at the time of going to school because the son says, I would like to put my hat on because that day he might have got up early for Salat al-Fajr and he feels so good today that, oh, I did something that Muslims are supposed to do, and is putting his jalabiya, we call it, we might call it kurta, and he has his umama or his hat on his head. And he wants to go to the school with that dress, and the mother forces the child that you must change it because she doesn't want other children to make fun of her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is nothing that we can avoid if we want to practice our deen. For how far are we going to go? Just for them, in order for them not to make fun of us, we are going to change our dress, our sunnahs, the ways, the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Gradually it will come to fara'id. If they would know that you would change things just because they laugh at you, they will laugh at your prayer and then you won't do the prayers. They will laugh at you going to the masjid and you will stop going to the masjid. So what? How far are we going to go neglecting and ignoring our deen and letting our deen go just because we don't want others to laugh at us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in these ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem that this will happen for sure in this life. If you follow the deen properly, then these people will laugh at you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. The wrongdoers, sinners, were always making fun of believers. Now, if they are not making fun of you, you should know something is wrong with you. If they like everything in you, something is wrong with you. That is something that we have to really think about, that what's wrong in my life, that these people are not making fun of me. In most of the situations, we try to tell them by our actions, is not by words. In fact, most of the things, most of the messages are given by action. We try to tell them, don't think I'm a Muslim. I'm just one of you people. Oh, you know, yesterday you saw me in that other dress.
That's because only I came out of my mosque at that time, but this is normally what I dress all the time. Being very apologetic. That don't think, you know, I'm one of those people. You know, I'm one of you people. When we go to their meetings, when we go to their, in their societies, we try to put on things, look like, talk the way they would like to see it from us. So that we resemble one of those people and we won't show any difference between us and them. Now look at this hadith. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een the importance of putting the imamah on their head. It's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, the kuffar of Quraysh, because they thought they are the followers of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, so they used to wear the imamah also. This is the reason many people who would just look at Islam from the historical point of view, not from the ahadith, they have this misunderstanding about deen, that this dress is the dress of Quraysh. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing it, wa iyaz billah. But if we look at this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, فَرْقُ مَا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ الْعَمَائِمُ عَلَى الْقَلَانِسِ. That although these people are wearing the imamah, but we don't want to let the sunnah go. Therefore, we are going to put the imamah on our head, but we at the same time we don't want to resemble these people. Therefore, I want my followers, when they put the imamah on, they should have a hat under the imamah. Small difference. Not everyone might be able to see the hat inside the imamah, but at least for us to know that I don't want to resemble these people, I should have some way of having distinction between me and them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want his ummah to resemble the other nations, because this is an ummah. This is not just a group of people. This is a complete ummah that have been given every code of life, from dress to eating to drinking to practices of their deen, and at the same time socializing and everything else in our life. There is nothing neglected in our deen. So here we see the difference. We are trying our best to please them by making ourselves look like them. And we try to maximize this by using different excuses. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going totally the opposite direction. That even he has to, when he had to do something that these people were doing, he would make a slight difference in it. So that even in these things we won't resemble them. Imagine, he goes to Medina Munawwara, he finds out that these people fast on the 10th of Muharram. He says, if I will be alive next year, I won't fast on just the 10th, I will add the 9th also with it. Because even in fasting, I don't want to resemble these people. If they are fasting on the 10th of Muharram, we'll fast for 9 and 10 so that we won't resemble them. Subhanallah. How deep he's going into this. And this would tell us that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see our situation and how much we are willing to compromise, how many things we are giving up of our deen, I don't know if he would even look at us and think that these are some of my followers, or will just turn his face away and say these people might belong to somewhere else. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. The wrongdoers. And sometimes when we think about wrongdoers, we might just think right about disbelievers. Kuffar laughing at us. That's a fact. And this is something we face. But at the same time, we must not forget that in many occasions, our own brothers and sisters and family members, they get into path of الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا, and they make fun of us when they see us doing some of our good deeds. They find out that we go to the masjid every day. Now you start hearing things. And people will start using all different type of comments.
oh, he goes to the masjid just because for his own reasons or whatever else. You call the adhan, they say, oh, look at him. Now he thinks that he became the best Muslim in the world. Making fun of these type of ibadahs is not a joke. Look at the hadith when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us. Sometime a person says a word. Because of just uttering one word, that person will be thrown into the hellfire, and his destination in the hellfire will be so far that it will take him 70 years. 70 years just to get to his destination. Not to talk about how long he's going to stay there. 70 years just to get over there to that part of the hellfire where he belongs to because of uttering that one word. When we make fun of people practicing deen, when we make fun of people practicing the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we see a Muslim woman in a proper dress and we make comments on that, is not a joke. We should not take it light and think that this was just a joke. Islam does not accept that type of joke. Making fun of anything that's bad of our deen is making fun of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they are the one who told us to do these things. Sometimes we end up, remember, there are two different things. One is a person doesn't do it. That's different. The other is the person makes fun of those who do it. Not doing it, is still the person, of course, is sinner, but it still is better in better situation than a person who makes fun of those who are doing it. Because when a person makes fun of it, there is a great fear this person will lose his faith, his iman. Say, for example, you see a person with a beard. You make fun of that person. Whatever comments you make. And your intention is to make fun of it. Change this person. Put this person aside. Look at the ahadith. And then in your mind picture Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be standing at the same position. And now you were making fun not of this person. You were making fun of the other person that's standing over there. You see a woman with hijab, with proper Islamic dress code. She's having her hijab, her niqab, everything properly. Someone makes fun of her. The least some people will say is too hot. Aren't you hot? Whatever else. Take that woman aside. Go to the hadith. Through the hadith you will find Aisha radiallahu anha standing there in the same dress. Now, make the same comment over there. Your comment is going back there. It's not just standing, staying over here. So, this is a jurm. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا. Whenever a person makes fun of anything that's bad of the deen, it might be sunnah of our deen, anything that was practiced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een, and it was advised by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do it, to make fun of these things is jurm. And jurm means one of the major sins that we might come in our lives. In fact, the best way of making us understand or understanding the jurm is crime. The person is criminal in this record of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the angels are looking for this man to die now. He's a criminal. There is a warrant issued against this person. The angel of azab, of punishment, is looking for this man because he's a criminal and he's looking for criminals. Imagine if we commit a crime in this life and we know that the police is after us and they're chasing us and they're trying to track us down. Are we going to be sleeping peacefully? Having a very peaceful life? What is it that we are going to do in that situation? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that making fun of anything of our deen is jurm, is a crime. And we better make up for it right away. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and we got to remember that those things, that we, those sins that we commit publicly, we have to repent for those sins publicly also, and it's not that we make fun of someone and of any sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lectures, in our gatherings, in our masajid, and then later on we go back and tell that person, I'm sorry. It won't work. You have to go back to the gathering and let everyone know that you are sorry for what you have done, and you really don't mean it, and you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for what you have done. This is the rule of our Sharia. Sins committed publicly, the forgiveness also have to be asked publicly. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. When they would pass by them, they will wink to each other. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. Whenever they would return to their families, they would return jesting. They would be enjoying. They would go and tell their families that today I said to that person this. Today we did this to that Muslim. Or within our families, we go back and we start telling our family members, today that person was doing this Salah and this is what I told him. He was wearing this dress and this is what I said to him. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. He's proud of what he has done. He have not yet realized that he's wrong. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. When they look at these believers, they say, these people have gone astray. Not only disbelievers, of course, we can expect that from them, but we find many of our people, they feel that these people who are too much into Islam, they are going too far away. لَضَالُّونَ. إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. These people are going too far away. Going too far away means we are on the right track by practicing only some portions of Islam. You don't have to go that deep. You don't have to become fundamentalist. In other words, you should not even practice the fundamentals of Islam. Fundamentalist is practicing fundamentals of Islam. If you do 5 prayers a day, and you're punctual in doing these prayers, you're a fundamentalist. And don't be fundamentalist. Don't even do the prayers 5 times a day. And this is very true, that when we are with some of our friends, we are ashamed to do the salah because they would think that we are fundamentalist. We are backward. And our own people would tell us, you know, it looks that we are backward by doing these type of things. We should advance. What does the advancement mean? Advancement means in our masajid, we should do everything that these people are doing in their churches. Learn from their churches how to run our masajid. Forget, wal-ayazu billah, about what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about the adab of the masajid. We have to learn it from them. Many times we compare our ibadahs, our masajid, with their lifestyles and with what they do in their places of worship. Many times when we talk about hijab in the masajid, right away you get a question, how about in the market? How about in the stores? How about in the colleges and universities? How about in the workplace? In other words, they are telling us that make the masjid like that workplace, like those clubs. Don't make those places like a masjid. They would never go to that place. They would never go to those clubs. They would never go to their workplace, their meetings, their homes, and tell their friends and families that, you know, we don't do this in the masjid, therefore I'm not going to do it here. But they would come to the masjid and tell us, because we do it over there, we must do it over here too. So we don't want anything from our deen. Well, a'yazu billah, we are so much impressed by those frames of lives, by those ways of lives, that we want to bring those things even into our masajid, the only place that in some situations, I have to say, not all the situations, in some situations that free of all of those ways of non-Muslims. This is the reason. Many times when people are building a masjid, they are afraid to give it the name of a masjid. They would call it a community center. They are afraid to call it a masjid because then those rules will apply. Then you might have to apply the Sharia. Sharia, forget it. This is not what we are building this place for. We are building it to bring the other things in here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the same thing. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. When they see the believers, they say, these people have gone astray, they have gone too far away. What is too far away in our deen? If we look at our deen, how much we practice our deen, how many things in our lives are according to the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many things in our life are against the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will realize that we are just holding to the minimum of it. And in our life, the whole thing that we think that is a lot, if we really start judging it into the light, in the light of Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will have to, and all of us will be, to the conclusion that we are just holding to the minimum possible. And wherever we have a chance to let it go, it's just like a bird. Put it in the cage. The bird is flying right and left, looking for what? Looking for a small hole that can make it out of the cage. If there is anywhere that the bird would find a hole that he would think that he can make it out of that cage, will try to fly and jump over that corner and keep on pushing that corner so that he can get out of it. This is how hard many times we push. Let's find a way for me that I can do this haram wa a'yazu billah. Asking these scholars questions, trying to argue back from some different ayahs and some different ahadith, that somehow I want to find a room for myself that I can jump out of this corner. Because I feel I'm stuck in this cage, wa a'yazu billah. We got to remember one point. Many times we make this mistake and we try to tell people, Islam teaches freedom. Freedom of what? Islam is full of rules, bindings. And once we get into it, we are bound by all sorts of rules, and there is no community, no country, no tradition in the world whatsoever that will tell us you are free to do anything you want. If we are practicing our own traditions, then go back to your home and tell your family that I would like to go to the masjid, get married in a way that we will go to the masjid for Jum'ah prayer, and me and my spouse will go over there, she will be sitting in sister's side, we'll get married over there, I take some food with me and offer that food to the people, and that will be my wedding. And just you will find out that how much freedom you have to practice. Everyone will be against us. In fact, with all what we do, yet there are people who still get upset because there are some traditions that we missed. So there is no way in the world that the person will say that I'm totally free of every law in the world. Islam, subhanallah, when we look at Islam, it's such a moderate deen. On the right stream. We don't go in any of the extremes. If we look at the people before Islam, Jahiliyyah, they were so difficult. This is an example. So difficult on women. They would bury their daughters alive. If a husband dies, they would many times they would kill the wife, or people will inherit the wives, or they will keep her for a year, full 1 year, in a dark room where she won't be able to come out and even to breathe. She will be in this dark room for 1 year, and to make sure that she spent the year properly in the dark room, at the end of the year they would give her a bird to apply it on her private part. And she used to be so hot that as soon as she will put the bird there, the bird would die because of the heat of her body. With all of that, when Islam came and started giving women the rights, normally anything, when there is a reaction from human beings normally go to the other extreme. Islam kept it moderate and giving them the rights, at the same time telling them their responsibilities. Nowadays we find that those women who are looking for their freedom, extremists we must call them, they are going on the other extreme. And we all know that they try to demonstrate by taking their clothes off that we would like to be equal to men, you know, in our dress. Why men has to wear, or is obligated to wear only one piece, and women are obligated to wear two pieces? We are not going to do it. And these type of extremes Islam always keep, which is we call it i'tidal. It's a moderate deen. Doesn't go in any of the extremes. This is the beauty of our deen. And this will always be different, the difference and the main difference between a man-made rule and a rule, a divine rule that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His messengers. That the rule that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine rule, will always keep everything in its proper place. And this is why Quran al-Kareem again and again uses the word zulm for anything against Sharia of Islam. Because zulm means وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ, putting anything where it doesn't belong to. You take the woman and put it at the place of a man, take the man and make him shave his beard and try to look exactly like a woman. Take anything and try to put it at a different place where it belongs to, and this is zulm. Islam puts every piece in its proper place. This was totally mixed up puzzle before Islam in the days of Jahiliyyah. It was totally a mixed up puzzle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he put every piece in its proper place. Now we are trying to mix it again, and now try to mix and meet, try to get some other puzzles and get the pieces of another puzzle and put it in here. They will never make you. We take things from Jahil, from Yahud, take things from Nasara, take things from Hindus, take things from all other denominations and try to fit those pieces into our deen. They will never fit. And Islam has to remain as pure and clean as it was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. جئتكم بها بيضاء نقية. When I came to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I brought it to you, it's clear, it's very obvious, nothing is hidden over there, we see it, everything is there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّهَا أُولَٰئِ لَضَالُّونَ. When these people see the believers, they say about believers, subhanallah, they say about the believers, إِنَّهَا أُولَٰئِ لَضَالُّونَ. Instead of the believers saying about kuffar, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ, kuffars are saying to us that إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. We look in our societies, something prophesied by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people who would practice deen, they will be considered as strangers. What is he doing? This is something very strange. The right way of doing it is this, what we all are used to. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا. When Islam started, it was totally strange. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ.
And soon it will again become as a stranger as it was in the beginning. Islam will be strange. Kufr will be something normal. In our families, this is something that although we might say astaghfirullah about it, but we normally get fed up. If our child says, our son or a daughter will come to us and will tell us that, you know, by going to these colleges, I'm doing a lot of sins. I really like to get rid of all of these sins. And I don't think I can do it by just continuing going to that education. Therefore, I would like to go into the Islamic education. Send me to one of the Islamic universities. I would like to learn Islam. And now we will look for someone who would do the counseling for us. And someone would try to explain to our children. The amazing thing is, many people come to me, please make dua for my son that he wants to learn Islam and he doesn't want to learn this. A person came to me. This is not too long back. This is something I'm talking within 10 days. He says, my wife, she's doing so good in her job, I won't say what type of job. But in that job, she has to shake hands with men. That's why she wants to give it up. And I'm telling her, continue, you have to do it. You know, you are making good money over there. And he comes to me and says, please, I'm going to bring my wife to you. Please explain to her that she should continue with it. SubhanAllah. I'm going to tell his wife, keep on shaking hands with men. How far away are we going? Write me something that my wife will listen to me so she can continue with her work. Give me some special dua. I'll tell you something for dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you read it, your wife will do and go and do something against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings. This is exactly what we are doing. This is how far away we are going. The understandings have totally changed, 180 degrees on the other direction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, when these people look at us, the situations have changed. The values have changed. When the values change in person's mind, then that person will always see everything upside down. The values have changed. If you show a person a piece of gold, and this person is always taught that this gold is never good for people, so now the value is different in his mind. He will look at it and he would think that this is something very bad. Take a simple example. When a kafir looks at a pig or he looks at a pork in the store, he starts feeling like, oh, I want to eat it, grab it, let me take it quick. And a Muslim finds out this is pork, no matter how hungry that person is, he's going to turn his face away and yuck, and he's going to feel like vomiting. Why? The values are different. To him, that's something very valuable. To us, something is the worst thing we can even look at. The values are different. So same thing, when the values change in person's mind, accordingly, we start making judgments. If a person is wearing glasses, and there are some these type of glasses and some type of glasses that when you put them in and put them on, you might see you're looking up but up front, but you are seeing things on your side. And they make special glasses for those special reasons. So now you make someone put those glasses up, and is looking and he thinks that that thing is in front of him, but really the thing is on the side. Or with our contact lenses or with our glasses that are colored glasses, the person comes to a room and says, so dark, put the lights on. You take his glasses on, now he says it's good. He had dark glasses on. So it depends what information we have in our mind. What are the values in our mind? What side we are looking through at these things? If we look at these things
from the Islamic point of view, we will have a different understanding about it than looking at these things from the point of view of non-believers. We will have total different understanding of it. So basically working on our values and understanding the proper Islamic values. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. I have not sent these people as guardians over these people, over the believers. So these kuffar have not been sent as guardians over the believers to start judging them for everything they are doing. And really, I don't know how Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'een took this ayah in their lifetime, because alhamdulillah they were strong in their faith and their iman, that at least they were making sure the disbelievers would realize that you are not guardians over us. But today, this country, our country, they feel that they are the guardians over the whole world. Why there is this in Pakistan? Why the other thing is in Bangladesh? Why Saudi Arabia is doing this? Why Afghanistan is doing that? Why they have these type of school systems? Everyone should ask me how to do it, because I'm the best man in the world. The lion is standing in the middle of the jungle and tells all the animals what direction to go, because the lion feels that this is the direction, because I'm the king. I have the power. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. They were not sent as guardians over them. And they can never be the guardians over us, except if we would make them the guardians over us. We have made them the guardians. It's not that they became. We made them. When we need something, where do we turn to? To Allah? How many times we make dua? And how many times we try to go for press conference, so that we can bring our voice up front and let people know, you know, I'm a Muslim and this is what we are about? Did we ever make dua before that? We did not even make our regular prayers before going over there. In fact, just because of going to that conference, we must have missed our prayer. And then we would go and ask them for help. We never asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. We displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We did everything against His will. We tried to please these people. Going to the press conference. Okay, I must put the proper dress on. You know what that proper dress mean now? That my pant has to be all the way touching the shoes. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you'll go to hellfire. I said, that's fine, let me just go and pray. Mr. Clinton is waiting for me at this time. And he would like to see my pant getting to my shoes. Imagine, the values are different. We are not looking at things from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's point of view. We made them our guardians. They did not become our guardians. And if we would make them our guardians, of course, people would like it. When people start calling me Imam, 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 I also felt I'm Imam. If people won't say that this is Imam, then I would never feel I'm the Imam. So when we start telling them, you know, you are the ones who can do it, and we seek your help for what's going on in Afghanistan and Pakistan and that, now they felt fear. Yeah, we are something. They were impressed by of themselves by our statements. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. They were not sent as guardians over them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ. They were not sent as guardians over the believers. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. Now look at the situations changing. In this life, they used to make fun of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let them laugh. 60 years? Maximum. And not even 60 years. And occasionally, they laugh at us. Out of the 60 years of our life, they must get, all together, they must have about 2 hours in total that they laughed at us, on us throughout our life. But فَلْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. On the day of judgment, the announcement will be, today the believers will be laughing at the disbelievers. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. And there has to be justice there. If today they laugh at us, and we take it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we have to get our chance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us different ways how Muslims, how believers will be laughing at disbelievers on the Day of Judgment. One of these situations is recorded in Quran also, in Surah Al-Hadid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِن نُورِكُمْ. That day, munafiqeen, hypocrites, those people who had no iman in their hearts but were showing their faith, they would come to the believers and say, you know, we are one of you people. Turn around on the other side and telling the other people, you know, we are one of you people. Those are munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these munafiqeen that day will have no light. On the Day of Judgment, we all need our own flashlight to be able to see something, to be able to see our directions. And the only flashlight that will work over there is the light of Iman. That will be the only light that will work over there. So these munafiqeen, of course, had no iman in their heart. So they will realize that these mu'mins, these believers, have a lot of light. And I don't have any light at all, and I need the light today. The kuffar are standing in the darkness. They can't even hope to have any light, because they know that they were in kuffar. These munafiqeen will come to the believers and will tell them, you know, I was your friend. And you know, we used to do all those things together. أُنظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِن نُورِكُمْ. Can you please wait for me so that I can walk in your light, take some of your light? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels to reply on behalf of the believers and tell these munafiqeen, قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. Go back. You will find some light over there. They will look back. فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ. A wall will be built between the two groups. There will be a big wall between the munafiqeen and the believers. Now the munafiqeen will look up front and there is a wall, they don't see any of the believers. So they will realize that these believers really, they just made fun of us. On the other occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, kuffar will go to hellfire, and those people who are making fun of believers in this life, of course they will have to pay for it. And these mu'mins in the Jannah, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ, they will be sitting on couches and watching, looking at those kuffar into the hellfire. And of course they will be able to see those people who are making fun of them. See the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ, sitting on couches and watching. They will be sitting in their Jannah with all the pleasures of the paradise of Jannah. And they will be watching and looking at those. They will look at that kafir who made fun of them and say, hey, come here. I'll call that kafir. Come in here. You want to come in? They say, yeah, I would like to get in. Come in. So the kafir will come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow him. He'll come there. As soon as he will get to the door of the Jannah, the angel will close the door and will ask him to go back to hellfire. So he will go back to the hellfire, and now again this Muslim is sitting up there on his couch and, hey, come. You want to come in? Come over here. He'll come back. It's a big distance. It's not an easy walk. He'll come back. And again, as soon as he's about to enter the door, the angel will kick him out. Get back over there. You belong to hellfire. Go to hell. We'll go back. Now again, the Muslim is going, hey, why don't you come in? Come on, come here. We'll go over there. And again, the door will be closed to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he will do it so many times on him that finally, that when the Muslim will call him, hey, come, you don't want to get in? Come over here. He will say, I'd rather stay in the hellfire.
فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ
Today the believers will laugh at the disbelievers. Let them make fun of us today in this life. If we take it in this life, we will have a good fun over there. So in fact, we should be looking for, if you like fun, then look forward, let them make fun of you, and then wait for, tell them, okay, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you that day. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ Today the believers will be laughing at disbelievers. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ They will be sitting on their couches watching. هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ Did the disbelievers got paid for what they were doing? Is a question. هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ Did the disbelievers got paid for what they were doing? They have to pay for it. They were making fun of the believers in this life. They have to pay for it in the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that a Muslim will be given that chance until he is happy. And he will be asked, did that disbeliever, that kafir, pay for whatever he did to you? And the Muslim will say, yes, ya Allah, that's done now. I'm satisfied. So in this life, whatever some fun they would make of us because of practicing our deen, following the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should be more than willing to take these situations. If today our son would come back to us and would say that because of my color, because of this, because of my language, all the children at the school, they make fun of us. Are we going to stop sending our children to school and stop giving them the education? Of course not. We will try to explain to them, you know, don't worry about them laughing at you. You also laugh with them. Do this, do that. And all of these explanations, why don't we give ourselves also the same explanation when we are out and we would like to do some of our ibadahs? Is the time for salah and we have to do the salah? Is the time to practice any of the sunnahs and we are afraid that people will laugh at us because of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Let them do whatever they want. Today is their day and tomorrow will be our day. But if we won't take this day today, then we won't have our day tomorrow. So everyone will be rewarded for what he's doing and they are practicing in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Surat al-Mustaqim and give all of us tawfiq to follow the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow the sharia of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to follow the lives of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in and take the examples from the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from practicing anything which is out of Islam and from following the traditions and the lifestyles of kuffar, of the Yahud and Nasara. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.